TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
Everybody back up. Yo. Watch out, them a follow me. They might try and catch up. Ooh. Make sure you not bother me. Kill them, we a grab up. Deep in the middle. Yeah. Badly, we a stab up. Yeah. Godfather, they about while them braga daga dap up. Idiot boy, you forget slap up. Like me tell you before. Everybody hand up.
Yeah. Jump up.
They from the couch, we a stand up.
Yeah.
Come here, girl.
Come.
Look how them a gang up. See the place full up.
Yeah.
Everybody pack up.
Yeah.
Rewind, pull up. You see how them a act up.
Them a act up.
Pretty girl, when you body round two. Make sure when you do it, girl, you do it real slow.
Real slow.
When me digging in your belly, make your friend them know.
Them know. We ready for the road.
Lab, T. Muhammad Radio. That's how we feeling tonight. Social Lab, what's popping? 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Coming to you live out of OKC. Well, them Thunders got whipped by Portland last night. We sorry. Hey, so we hanging out with you. We got our special guest tonight, Bink. That humble monster, Grammy Award-winning producer. He did a beat spa over the weekend, and he'll be stopping past to talk about that experience. Brought out a ton of creatives to the Culture Lounge in Nova. We call it Norfolk, VA, one of our favorite places in the world. But we'll talk about that and more when he actually gets here. Y'all know how, you know, those celebs do. They roll through whenever they wanna, and it's okay. That's home team, and we just happy to for him to swing past again. Hanging out tonight with super producer Bink Dog. Man, it's a lot going on right now. We've not been on the air, I feel like, in a minute. So the Mueller report is out, even though like the report seemed like it was blacked out. The whole damn report was blacked out, wasn't it? Like the entire report was blacked out. But first, all the way live from Columbia, Carolina. And we need y'all to show her some love because she's not feeling too good. Will you welcome Fee to the show? Give her a hug, y'all.
Show my girl some love.
Can you feel that? Like, can you feel that like big hug?
Lily, I feel it. Love. I need it. I need it all. Positive energy. Yes.
We need it. All the way live from the other side of the ATL. Well, way in the ATL. Give it up, hot chocolate. What's popping?
Where I'm at over here as I bogle into the studio tonight with that first song making me wind up my waist a little bit. How y'all doing? Happy Monday. Yes, happy Monday. Let me just say, I had a day in the corporate office. So coming in here with all of this fantastic energy with my Social Lab family is giving me life tonight.
You almost killed nobody,
y'all.
Did you? Somebody almost killed you? What happened?
No. See, you know, people just don't do what they are supposed to do and do not take accountability for their lack of action. I was going to make up a word, but I'm not going to do that. Their lack of action. And I'm going to just need for people to, you know, own their ish. Own your ish. You know what I mean?
Own it.
Mac Wiles.
Own it, folks. Own it.
Right.
We made it. We made it out of a week into a new week. And if, you know, if your Monday didn't go too good, like hot chocolate is implying, listen, you made it through Monday. Let's look at the positives, folks. You made it through Monday. And so get your game face on for Tuesday because Tuesday's going up. It's going up.
Definitely.
Or does it go down? I don't know.
No.
It's Tuesday.
Up.
It's going up.
All the way up.
Going up. You know, this is a very sensitive topic, but I think from an awareness perspective, we've got to pay attention to people, places, and things going on around us. Without getting into too much detail, Fee recently encountered a friend that is no longer with us. And right before we were on air, you know, I was beginning to share how we are hearing more and more about African Americans, specifically like adolescent African Americans who are taking their own lives. I just heard a story recently about an 11-year-old African-American male, right? 11 years old, right? That's elementary school, who took his own life because of bullying. And we've heard many of these stories about people, young people, who are taking their own lives because of peer pressure, bullying. And folks, I'm just going to say we've got to pay attention to what's happening around us, because I find it very hard to believe that there weren't signs. There are always signs, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely. And I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, but I'm glad you did.
A touchy subject.
Go for it.
For me, but in his particular case, he dealt with a lot. He was ex-military, so he suffered from PTSD. He suffered from survivor's guilt, anxiety, depression, all of that. And I won't lie and say that I'm not angry anymore, because I am still angry. I'm hurt. Moments I get happy, next minute I'm extremely sad. But one thing he did, he left a letter, and I read it from time to time, because with the letter, there would have been nothing that I could have done. There would have been nothing anyone could have done to stop him. He basically had made up in his mind that that was what he was going to do. And I mean, for our listeners, because I feel like I need to keep who he was alive. His name was Adrian Harris. And he was a ball of life. I mean, anybody who actually knows me knows I love to laugh. I love to joke. I love to be just that beacon of life, but all day long, born that way. And he was also that way, but he actually committed suicide on Facebook Live. And at that particular time, I don't think he was actually here. His illnesses that he dealt with, I believe, took over him at that particular time, because there was nothing. He was no longer paying attention to his life. He was just rambling. And I tried calling him several times, because at the beginning of his life, he actually was talking extremely positive. He was just talking about him moving and just things going really positive in his life. But knowing him, I saw when his head dropped and he just started crying. And I instantly started calling him, kept calling. And he was like, "Yo, Fee, you're messing up my live. Yo, you keep calling, you're interrupting my live. I'm good." And I was like, "No," because at one point he turned the camera and I saw the gun sitting on his bar in his kitchen. And so at that point I started calling his best friend, and his best friend was like, "Hey, I can't even get to him. I'm like an hour and 15 minutes away." And I'm like, "Well, can you get in contact with his sister?" So everybody was trying to reach out. And as I was looking at the live, one female was like, she was 8 minutes away. Another guy friend was like, he was 6 minutes away. And so I'm just like, okay, you know, somebody's going to get to him. They're going to get to him. And he was just like, you know, "Have you guys ever felt like, you know, you were always there for someone and no one was there for you?" And he had his cell phone in his left hand. And when I saw him reach to the right, I was screaming at my phone, like, "Can you please just put it down?" Because at this point, again, he wasn't paying attention to the news feed. He was just talking. And he said, "Yeah, y'all, you know, I play Russian roulette for the past year and a half, you know, and that shit ain't work, y'all." And he did it. And I could hear the sirens coming, and the police had to break down his door, and I was still in shock. I was still just looking at the phone like, he's going to get
was
up,
all of this,
you know.
So it was still live?
All of it still live, because everything fell. He fell, his gun fell, his phone fell. And when his phone fell, it slid across his floor, and it was kind of pointed towards his front door. So, you know, you could hear him gurgling on his blood. And I could hear the sirens coming, and I'm like, okay, they're gonna come. Again, I was still in shock, so I wasn't crying at this point, because I was like, he's gonna get up. And the police busted through his door, and one of them was coming in putting on gloves, and luckily we couldn't see him, but the police officer bent down, and the other officer asked him, is there a pulse? And he said, no, he's gone. So when he said that, you know, I lost it. That's when I lost it, because it was like it clicked at that point. But, you know, kind of to piggyback off of all of that, you know, I saw where Taraji has opened up, has started a foundation about mental health. We as a people have to check on each other. Yeah. We've come so accustomed to social media being our go-to. Like, okay, I can check on Hot Chocolate because I can see 20 minutes ago she posted. So she good. She's still kicking. I can check on the general and see that he just caught another flight. He's good.
Right.
That's not checking on your family. That's not checking on your friends. That's not
Absolutely.
Checking on your loved ones. Reach out, I literally would leave work and go to Charlotte and go to his VA visits with him. And to see that man get, like, backpacks full of medication just to maintain his mental health, that, again, is not – that's putting a Band-Aid over something that needed surgery. That's not the key, you know. They really have no – outlet, and I say they, meaning the veterans, they really have no outlet. And technically, all the people that are dealing with mental health, they really have no outlet, you know. And it's like, you know, you can look at someone and say they have a limp. Oh, they have a disability with their leg. Okay, they have something going on with their arm. Oh, okay, something's wrong with their arm, so they're disabled that way. When someone's dealing with mental issues, you can't look at them because they're smiling. You can't look at them and say that they have something going on mentally. You know, so to stay in tune, to stay in touch, to stay true to your friendship, that's huge. Because half the time, all they want you to do is listen.
Yeah.
That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've just tuned in, we have a special guest tonight. This sounds very somber, but this is something that needs to be shared. You need to hear it. And the message is, we got to check on each other. Mental health is serious. There was a time black people did not kill themselves. Now you're hearing about black people killing themselves all the time. Something has got to cease, but it starts with us checking out and checking on one another. Genuinely. Fee, thanks for sharing. It's 8:18. On the other side of this is our special guest, Super Producer, Grammy Award winning, our friend, the humble monster, Bink Dog. But first, this is one of his hits, My Crib, one of Hot Chocolate's favorite, Mac Wilde. It's so slack. Let's roll. Let's do what you want.
brown eyes, 5'3", legs right, tight, just what I need to make my night right. And I need some change, money come and go like planes. We'll fly down, what's your name? 'Cause you're looking like a perfect love song. Girl, you got me going with your boom boom. We can do it right here, baby. I want you, don't play. All types of sweet things jump from my lips till you wanna roll, baby. You meet me downtown, send your girls home now. I'm homebound. What you say? 'Cause I'm really wanting you to
stay. 'Cause you're looking like a perfect love song. Girl, you got me going with your phone.
Showing you where your skill set at. We can all learn from each other without copying, you know?
Without copying. Listen, that's one of the biggest pet peeves right now that I have and others have. I mean, we in a copycat society where everything sounds the same. First of all, Bink, why is that? Why is it acceptable for labels to continue to put out music that sounds the same?
I mean, because they're only interested in, you know, hit singles or whatever. So it's good news to them to have a record that sounds like the record just went off. So it's a no-lose situation, you know, when you think about it. But corporate America really got us in this place, you know, because they turned it into a cookie cutter rather than, you know, organic like it used to be. You know what I'm saying?
Very much cookie cutter.
Yeah, so that's the issue. But so, you know, the kind of the kids got their hands tied because they're trying to get paid, and the A&R's is asking them for certain stuff. And it's like, you know, they're trying to get, you know, trying to get a check, trying to get in there, so they're gonna do what they tell them to do.
You know, you are a serious advocate for producers and new producers, and your thing is, listen, don't get a house away. You know, we got to get paid too. What's the difference in the game today for producers compared to yesterday? Is it easier? Is it more difficult? Some of our conversations indicate that it seems to be a little more difficult for producers today.
I mean, at some point, I'm going to say from like 2005, 2006 to now is when the shift really came in as far as the producer's role being devalued. You know, it came a point where, you know, artists was making it a habit of just taking people's music and just putting it out, you know, on these mixtapes. And, you know, telling the producers it's just a mixtape, but meanwhile they're putting on all these platforms and getting money off it and never giving money back to the producer. So it just really got to the point where it became regular business to function like that because, you know, kids today will sacrifice business for the sake of, you know, being in the circle. You know what I'm saying?
Popularity.
Whereas, you know, somebody like me would just walk away from the situation if the business ain't right. So it's like these kids trying to get on by any means necessary, man, and that's the issue. So that's why the producers is, you know, it's slowly but surely starting to phase out as far as the money is concerned. Like they're really downplaying with the role of the producer, and half the time the producer is carrying these artists.
Whole track.
You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? So, yeah, so they're cutting producer fees in half, and, you know, and it's like it's regular now to be paid after the record is already out. It's just a lot of backwards businesses going on now that's considered regular business.
How does a new producer break in? Because I do get the idea of artists trying to, you know, get a foot in the door. And sometimes you got to lose in order, we got to give some to get some. What advice would you give an up-and-coming producer that helps them to balance it a little bit, to kind of, you know, stay true to who they are in their craft, but not to get a house away at the same time?
I mean, my thing is, you know, I was always told you're only as strong as your leverage. So if you know you're a new producer coming in the game, that means you have no points on the board, meaning you're not proven. So you know you can't come in but so high as far as what you're trying to charge for the music. So my thing is, just because you're just starting doesn't mean you have to do it for free. But you can do it for a cheaper price. You know what I'm saying? You still should be compensated for whatever you're doing.
Compensation.
That's the issue.
Right.
Yeah, get your coins, folks. You know, get your business up. Get your coins up, folks.
Yeah, but these young kids make it hard to help them because they will abandon business for the sake of being down. So, you know, you come in and try to fix it, and then they go behind you and you know, still, you know, hang with the guys and still keep giving them music. So it's like, what's the point? You know?
Yeah.
So how do you, because that sounds like a very thin line, right, to tread between giving away the bank and trying to get your foot in the door.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people say, like, you know, just give all your beats to the people and just hope somebody rap on them. You know what I'm saying? And that's the difference from, you know, when I first came in the game and to now, it's like nobody's really guarding the secret sauce. It's like nobody understands what secret sauce is or signature is anymore. It's like everybody just feel like they can just pull a hit out their ass when they get on command. And it don't work like that. You know, so everybody throws all these mixtapes out, 2-3 mixtapes before they throw the album out, thinking they still have a bomb album. Like, you just put out 20-30 records before you put this out. Like, nobody can keep, you know, keep that pace up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
right,
when you pay attention, you know, the great artists, they don't waste their music on mixtapes. Kendrick, J. Cole, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't see them putting out a bunch of mixtapes anymore. You know, that's done. So, it's just like I said, the whole attitude towards music now is like it's disposable. Like, just throw it out. You know, just throw it out. If people putting out singles every day, putting out albums every week, like, nobody's tripping them. The attention span is like 2 weeks now for a project, maybe. You know what I'm saying? And everybody,
yeah, if that.
So it, yeah, so it's like it just really makes the value of music kind of depreciate when it's like that. So people act like, you know, producers just a dime a dozen. You know, you can get a beat from anywhere, get them a couple of dollars, but meanwhile you pay the video guy more than the producer. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's goofy.
This is true.
Like,
this is true.
So, yeah, but, you know, but at the same time, you know, you're going to give what you deserve, you give what you negotiate. So, you know, nobody's going to help you do good business. You know what I'm saying? That's on you.
Nobody's going to help you to do good business. I need you to catch that. And that's because at the end of the day, you supposed to know your value and you supposed to be able to negotiate your own business. It's like buying a house, right? You need a real estate agent. The agent is going to get commission. How much commission is somewhat determined by you, right? Handle your business. Handle your business. Speaking of business, when you were sparring on Saturday, what kind of feedback were you actually able to give up-and-coming producers to help them to grow?
I'm just trying to instill some good values in these guys now and not let them just fall victim to the cliche the cliche attitude that people have now towards music, you know what I'm saying, as far as no integrity in the music. Like, nobody is ashamed of sounding like the next person. That's cool. It's no, you know, it's no issue. You know what I'm saying? And back in the day, like, that was a big deal. Like, you felt awful if you sounded remotely close to anybody. Like, you pride yourself in being creative. And that is like, nobody really cares about that. It's all about, okay, I'm going to do one of these, too. I'm going to do one of those. Like, whatever the hat, like, you know, once Middle Child came out, J. Cole, now he's going to have kids trying to sound a whole bunch of horns at. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, you know it.
Everybody just try to immediately redo something that just came out. So it's like, now you hear a lot of these records now that's coming out, they all sound like damn near Kiki, Do You Love Me, like, type speed, and because that was a hit in last summer. So people that was copying that is starting to come out now. So all those records starting to sound like Drake last album. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Nobody's really trying to push the needle, for real. You know, so it's just everybody just regurgitating and recycling the same thing over and over again.
So in this beat sparring session, was there anything that really, really made you take notice?
I mean, like I say, a couple of people had some really good ideas, you know what I'm saying, and some dope skeletons and stuff, because a lot of people, or a lot of producers at this stage really don't know how to add the keyboards and stuff over top and the extra melodies and the guitars and all that type of stuff. Like, they're not really there yet to do all that type of stuff. So to me, these are good ideas, you know what I'm saying, because I know there's so much more production left that can be done to it. So I was just, putting them up on game, with that, and introducing them to, keyboard player that I've used before, and told them that he's at their exposure as well, so I can work with him, you know what I mean? So just to help broaden y'all stuff and make your sound a little bigger, try to get that, get these type of people in your corner.
Good insight. Good feedback.
I've always wanted to know what your favorite part of a song is. Is it melodies? Is it strings? Is it horns? What is it?
Probably my favorite part would be drums and bass. Mm. So that's the driver.
Drums. Straight up.
Yeah. And I don't know why I thought you was, because everything that you do is always so melodic.
I try.
It works.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean that's just because that's just in me. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, you can't teach feel. You know what I'm saying? But, but you can't mimic somebody. But, somebody who has signature just has a certain feel of how you go about doing stuff. You know what I'm saying? So you can't mistake it for nothing else. That's why Stevie Wonder was who he was, Curtis Mayfield who he was, Prince, Michael Jackson, Luther,
Those elements, yeah.
All those, all those people had some type of signature to their music that made you be like, okay, Sade, like, it's nothing to mistake when you hear Sade music. You know this is Sade.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So people downplay signature now, and they try to make it seem like, it's only 12 notes, It's not so many melodies. I'm like, shut up. That's for lazy people, that's uncreative. That's their favorite excuse.
Bro, you have worked with a ton of artists. I mean, a ton of folk. Like, who to date has been your favorite artist to work with that you've already worked with?
Favorite artist to work with.
I said it's so many.
Yeah, and now when you're working with artists now, it's not as personal. You know what I'm saying? So it's not the same experience as it used to be, back
you send
the day,
tracks
you know,
across the country. Yeah.
Yeah, you send a track and they just do a song and that's just it. Whereas when we was doing music, myself and the artist would sit down and actually have a conversation about, okay, what did you feel when you was writing to the record? And what was I feeling when I did the beat? And we just bounce off each other and go. You know what I'm saying? It's never been, okay, this is my album, I'm gonna do what the fuck I'm gonna do with your beat, and you ain't got nothing to do with it. That's how it is now. Like, not too many artists are interested in being produced with the producer.
And I
not
think
too
that's
many artists
deal.
Are interested in being produced, right? That's why it's not impersonal anymore. Yeah.
And that's why you're not getting that type of body of work anymore, because
correct.
The camaraderie is not there. Like, if you go back and look at old interviews with artists, they will always say shit like, well, my next album, I'm going to the studio with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. They're going to pretty much produce my next album and you know, give me a new sound. Like, they understood what it was and what the role of the producer is. These kids now feel like they can do your job.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? They can finish your beat. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's different. That's why you don't see me on that much stuff, just for the simple fact that I just don't get down on how they get down doing the music. Like, I'm not with just letting anybody touch my shit.
Yeah, and folks, understand what this dude just said. Oh, so real. For those of us who know this guy personally, like, can you imagine somebody calling you up, like a big artist, asking for some help, and they be told no? Like, that's when you know that you didn't made it to a certain level, right? When you can pick and choose artists that you can work with. I mean, man, can you tell us somebody who recently told, like, hell no?
it's not even a point of having to say hell no. It's just staying out the way, you know? Like,
see, that's that humbleness, folks. That's that humbleness from the monster, just staying out of the way.
I mean, that's real, because my thing is, if you dope, you don't have to come looking for me. I'm coming to you.
Facts.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? I'm coming
right.
to you. Like, yo,
but when they
up?
Coming
Get
to
out.
You, they looking for the sauce. They looking for a hit when they
right.
coming to you, though.
But you can't get no sauce if that bread ain't right.
Hey.
Hey.
So, you know,
see, that's about knowing your business, folks.
Right. So that's the bottom line. It's like, it does not benefit me to sit here and do a bunch of records with you for free. It does not benefit me. You know, I got kids. You know what I'm saying? I got a family.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I got a wife. So it's like, I don't have time to just be out here playing with y'all. So, you know, like I said, if the business ain't right.
Playing, folks.
Yeah. So if the business ain't right and we all don't understand what we're supposed to get at the end of the day, and there's nothing else for me to talk about.
Get your business together. Hey, we're going to pause for the cause. This is one of his hits right here. Keisha Cole, Woman to Woman. It's the Social Lab, TMI on the radio. We'll be right back.
Yeah, what's up? So.
That's not my record,
son. I know you know this dude, so I need you to talk to me and just tell me.
Yo. Yo.
We gonna stop this joint right now if it's not a Beat Dog track, because it said Bink.
Yeah, I was.
I did Keisha
it definitely
Cole,
says
called,
it's one of your joints.
Next Move. I did Keisha Cole, but it's called Next Move.
Oh.
Okay, they got this. It's definitely in your discology as one of your joints, so they're giving you credit for it.
No, it's
okay,
called,
cool.
No,
well,
like,
we're gonna skip
it's
that joint.
Next Move, though. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to keep the conversation going. I asked you about a past artist, but I want to ask you about an artist in particular, bro. You actually did Kanye West's Devil in a New Dress. Bro, like, the Kanye that you worked with back then compared to the Kanye that just did Church at Coachella yesterday, like, what is going on, brother? Talk about an evolution in music.
I mean, man, life is a journey, bro. You know what I'm saying? And God knows what type of journey Kanye been on, and none of us really can attest to that. You know what I'm saying?
Very true.
You know, so I try not to judge anybody, because, you know, I got my own shit. You know, I got going
as
on in my life. You
as
know what I'm saying?
All.
But
no doubt.
As far as Kanye as a creative, genius. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a huge fan of Kanye, because Kanye never really gave a damn about what everybody else was doing. He was a leader. You know what I'm saying? And he's always been like that. And we've always had respect for each other as producers, even from Dynasty album days. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
It's always been love with Kanye, but Kanye is just Kanye. You know what I'm saying? Yeezy is just Yeezy.
Yeah, he's just
but he can always do some groundbreaking shit. He can always press the envelope, bro. Always. He can always go outside the line. He always color outside the lines. You know what I'm saying? That's what I love about
him.
I can see Ye as an evangelist, though. All jokes aside, I can see
he's certainly evangelizing. He's doing something.
He certainly is.
I mean, let's be real. Most good preachers are people who've been through stuff.
Right.
Absolutely.
You
totally
know what
agree
saying?
With that.
They can tell you about what it's about, what it's like to fall on your face. You get addicted to shit. Do dumb shit. Like, people love it.
Right.
I'd rather hear somebody like that talk to me rather than somebody just looking down their nose and just judging
yes.
why they never made a mistake.
Yeah, like, speak on it.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? So,
right.
I rather
hear
the preacher say, yeah.
Hey, just snort coke. Right.
Make you wave your handkerchief in church. Cause preach, brother.
Now I'm snorting scriptures. Can I get amen?
Hey, amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. Bro, was it last year? It seemed like it was last year, but probably the year before last. Rick Ross put out Rick Ross's last project was the year before last, right? You did several joints on that, including this joint that we're about to play right now. The Santorini Greece. Hot record.
Oh, that's my joint.
Hot
record.
How did that clearly, you know, clearly you're somebody, as far as artists are concerned, you're somebody who anybody would want on their record to sauce
uh-huh.
it up. But how did that come together? Was that a relationship that already existed, or did Ross pick up the phone like, I need one, two, or three?
Yeah, they absolutely called me. Actually, I had just got back from L.A. working with Nipsey, and they called me. I'm literally walking to my car at the airport in Norfolk and was like, yo, we need you to come out here. So I went out there the next day and I stayed at Ross Crib like
and when,
a half.
When he went out to Miami, stayed with Rick for a month and a half.
No, it's Atlanta.
He came up.
I was in Atlanta.
In Atlanta for a month and a half. I know by now you all have heard it. But just in case you didn't hear this one, this is Sauce, Big Dog Rick Ross.
Sometimes I really want to say fuck the world. I don't give a fuck. Shoot it out with all you bitches. Bitches don't love me. Young black nigga fighting the world, nigga. Everywhere you go, bitches throwing rocks, nigga. Man, a nigga in a Lamborghini. Seen a Cuban kilo, I was 15. Huh. Dylan Yayo never had my teeth cleaned. Restricted license, but I'm so divisive. I know the snipers and I flow the nicest. Fresher than Groovy Lou at a Gucci shoot. I'm multiple weapons in my new Gucci boots. The bank accountant caught the Holy Ghost. Huh. I say the bank accountant caught the Holy Ghost. Pastrami for my Jewish chicks. 8 days of Christmas, every day a newer gift. I'm Michael Jackson to the rich niggas. That leather jacket, baby, with the 6 zippers. Suicide or rather crucified. I prophesize your whole crew demise. But Tula wife reside in Cuba, nigga. Shoot you, let you bleed out, is how they do it, nigga. Trafficking or destined to be a janitor. Diabetes ramping in my bloodline. That why fat boy be happy to see the sunshine. I'm here for results, baby, let's cut the chase. Sticky fingers and paper, DA will drop the case. Art Basel with Leo, I blew 300 with him. Two-seaters for all the soldiers who running with him. Ask 100 women, yeah, they wanna hit him.
I be up awake and still be running in them. Too usually the Sprite and get me through the night. Bowling alley in the basement, but we still shooting dice. Rich forever, killer, take my old advice. Better yet, take my old bitches and mold them right. And if I want her back, I come and take her back. Santorini, Greece, I put it on the map. Days, these racist agendas, blatant double standards because I'm a nigga. Jesse Jackson on them people payroll. Fuck. When you black lips chap cause the game cold. I'm giving niggas jobs when I sing songs. White man love me when I get my bling on. But you hate me buying real estate in foreign land.
What?
Respect my genius on my people poor to shed.
What?
Room full of cloaks and they count votes. Million man march and I'm taking notes. Made it to the top, you thought they saw a ghost.
Yeah.
Facing tax evasion, niggas sell they soul. So selling dope was the path we chose. And now it's boats in the Bel Air Rose.
Woo.
Rich niggas in the setting stone.
Woo.
Neck Rocky, Sylvester Stallone.
Woo.
See me in Capri or the Mandis.
Huh.
Santorini, Greece with a dime piece.
Huh.
My money long, you know I'm out your reach.
Nigga.
Only fat nigga jogging on the beach.
Underwear, 9:52 p.m. here in Social Lab. TM Hyman Live, Radio Live. Your girl, Hot Chocolate, the General. Fee and our special guest tonight. Cut it out. Our special guest tonight. Big Super Producer, Grammy Award winner. Big. A.K.A. Soup Ball Head.
He is balling.
Stop making fun of my radio name. I'm trying to be professional. 917-889-3966.
Hold it.
Is the number to weigh in. If you
darkness,
want to get in the comment real quick.
Darkness is crazy. Darkness.
Now, and understand to any of our upcoming guests, don't watch your walk now. There's not too many people who can address me that way, so, you know, do not misunderstand it. Now, back to
Come
the
on.
Matter at hand. So,
Let's
the beat sparring
nice
session, I know you have another one coming up. Do you have a date for it yet?
Sparring
with Bink.
Beat sparring, yeah. It's going to be a once-a-month situation.
Yes, we will definitely keep you posted here on the Social Lab.
Get your game up, Hampton Roads. Even though this is not – this dude is international. He's known across continents, right? This is not exclusive to VA. But listen, you better come right, though, if you go come to the city. You better come right. Sparring was at the Culture Lounge off of Granby on Saturday, and hopefully that's the spot. But folks, if you are up and coming producer and you trying to really, you know, refine yourself, listen, iron sharpens iron. You got to get under somebody who's been there, done that. You know, the one thing that the dude said, and he's actually said it quite frequently, it's hard to teach the up and coming generation. It's hard to impart, and flood out. You know, come on, you gotta be willing to listen. You gotta be willing to apply feedback, and you gotta get out of your damn feelings. Like nobody cares about your emotions and your feelings. There's no feelings in business, folks. And once you all get your business acumen up, you're gonna look back and be like, damn, what was I doing all this time? You was in your feelings. That's all.
Uh-huh.
You was just in your feelings. We need you to get your business up. Bink, one thing you can tell an up-and-coming producer, one thing to help them with their business acumen, because to help with producing, business acumen is a struggle for us across the board.
Uh-huh.
We just don't understand the importance of business acumen.
Be a 101 course.
Yeah, like I said, man, ain't nobody going to tell you your worth. You got to know that. Hello?
Oh, no, that's deep, and we're here. Say it again for the people in the back. You have to
know your worth.
Know.
You have to know
your
worth.
Is what he said.
Nobody's going to tell you.
Nobody's going to tell you. But you got to also apply common sense, though, because he said it earlier. If you have no credibility, if you've not produced anything for anybody, don't come at people crazy talking about, I want $1,500 for this piece of trash. Like nobody's ever heard of you. Stop playing. Right? I mean,
come on, scale that back a little bit. But
I gotta
correct you right there, because $1,500, that's the bottom. Like, that's like, that's
why. Well, I just threw that out there.
Yeah, but I don't want people to think that $1,500 is a lot of money. But coming in, just starting $1,500 is great. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? For somebody who ain't did nothing. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but my first beat I think I sold was $4,000. You know. And yes,
I can guarantee you that $4,000 beat was fire.
It was Don't Leave for Black Street.
Ooh.
Bang. He said his first track he sold was a fucking hit, people. Excuse the French, but what I'm saying is, listen, if you're serious about it, then step out there. But don't step out there if you're not serious about it, because we can hear your seriousness. We can hear people.
But that's a perfect record to bring up, for the simple fact that when I met Telly Riley, I was at the stage that these guys are at in my game, you know, then, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't know how to add the keyboard and all that type of stuff to it. So I just had the sample and the drums, and then Teddy did all the other heavy lifting, you know what I'm saying? So that's my learning.
And we
that's
still
how
remember
I
that song.
How to do it myself.
20 years later, yeah, I still remember that song.
Still in rotation, absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, I would never sit here and try to take full credit for Don't Leave, because, you know, Big Homie definitely made that, you know, put the bells and whistles and really polish that shit, like, you know, how it needs to be, make it sound super big and full so they can sing, you know, do what they need to do on it.
Again, that's the humble monster right there telling you the truth.
Brother, hey, bro, you know it's all love. All love here, bro. We appreciate the time, man. I mean, you got our full support. Anything you do, you already know that. But we're following you for the next sparring event, and we certainly going to promote it and continue to promote you as best we can, bro. Appreciate the love, homie.
That's right. Holler at us when you get to the A.
Okay, nice, cool.
I can't stand you.
Hey, take us. Hey,
move your head, Scoopy. I can't see the board, Scoopy. Move your head.
Wednesday, 9 p.m., everybody.
That crew, hey. That team, that network.
Hey,
go ahead, Scoopy. Go ahead.
I just want to apologize to my Tootsie Roll right now, okay?
Tootsie Roll. I can't stand you. I'll meet you out, shoot park, and drag you to the grass.
I love you, Gina. I love you. Love
you too, Bink.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you, man.
Good night.
Back
see
Wednesday,
Wednesday.
9 p.m., folks. Good night, everybody.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show.
Talk radio show. Real talk. Real talk. Talk radio show.